You know, there are probably some more appropriate passages to preach on right now, but I didn't think I wanted to preach on Noah and the flood or the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee during the storm. So we decided to do with a more subdued topic today like that. And the topic is the struggle to be unimportant. Turning the Bible to chapter 14 of the Gospel of St. Luke, begin with verse 1 and then 7 through 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Humans, since creation, have been in competition with one another. Now, there isn't anything wrong with friendly competition, unless it devolves into nastiness, and then the friendliness gets thrown out the window. Christ addressed a subject which to most people of his day accepted without question. It was the issue of a person's social rank and social religious position. Now, there's to a degree that still holds true today, but not like it did in those days. Because you remember last day I said about the rigid rules and regulations. Now, in our own country, it used to be a common thing that when you did social climbing, you changed churches. Usually what you did was, if you started out as a Baptist, you'd promote to a Methodist and then to a Presbyterian, and you hit the jackpot as an Episcopalian. So, you know, that was the way it used to be. So, but you know, a lot of circumstances. So, a lot of times, it was the church, and it doesn't have to really mean the denomination, but if you were a member of a certain first church or a certain church there, that means your social status was really up there. You were a very, very important person in the community. Like I said, those rules are not as... Fortunately, not as common as they used to be, but many of you remember them, especially those who grew up in small towns and you knew, you know, who went to which church like that. So those things were, it was the person's social and religious position, which everybody noticed. But in this case, the person of importance was a Pharisee who was hosting a banquet. Now, I know throughout the New Testament, particularly in the Gospels, the Pharisees usually get the short end of the stick. They're considered the villains. And all, if you notice that in the law, the plots of the stories, even in the parables. But Christ, in reality, if you read closely, had a lot of friends who were Pharisees. So he did not limit his friendship to because somebody held a certain title or something. Christ tried to be friends with all. And the Pharisees, he had a good many of them standing with him through the thick and the thin of it. Evidently, and we see here about where the people were coming in this parable to sit down and eat, evidently the custom of name place cards had yet to be introduced since Emily Post hadn't been born yet, and she wrote the definitive book on good manners called Etiquette. Some of you may have her book. You know how to use your napkins or serviette or whatever it is, but it seemed like to me it was, you get the best seat, you better run in and get it like that. But as witnesses to this event, Christ and his disciples must have been included on the list of invited guests. They were there. It was obvious. The Pharisees' house would probably have been spacious enough to accommodate a large party. A large party. Christ, in his own right, was probably one of the most unlikely celebrities ever. He was not the type that was looking for the limelight. But yet, he was probably the most famous person in the Holy Land at the time. But all the four Gospels record that he attended numerous social functions. You remember the wedding feast at Cana. There were so many others that he attended that Mary and Martha and Lazarus had him at their place a lot. There were so many occasions where he was there. He was what we would seem like not a wallflower, but a social butterfly. He was really involved. He was not isolated from the people that he ministered to. But as a reminder, Christ had his problems with those aggressive and ambitious people as well. Remember when the mother of James and John asked if her sons could share in his glory? You know what happened? It ticked off the other 10 disciples to no end. They were really just fuming and breathing fire after that little escapade there. So, you know, and remember this, quarrels are offshoots of those seeking to be important. That really is what it is. It's who can outmaneuver the other, and it ends up into a feud usually like that. You know, several years ago, there was a film which depicted an unusual relationship. Some of you may have seen The King's Speech, and it portrayed the British King George VI, which, with his unfortunate speech impediment, he just could not get a lot of the words out. But there was a speech therapist named Lionel Logue who actually helped King George overcome much of his disability. They became very intimate friends through the years, though Lionel was just a commoner. Remember, in the United Kingdom, there's nobility and aristocracy. Then you just have the common folk without titles or whatsoever. And whatever your position is, you pretty much at one time stayed in that social position or profession like that. But they became very close friends, Lionel and His Majesty did. So when His Majesty ascended to the throne in 1937 and the coronation was to take place, King George insisted that Lionel sit in the royal box at Westminster Abbey along with the Queen and the princesses Elizabeth and Margaret. Numerous people of high rank felt slighted, and there was deep jealousy exhibited among those neglected dignitaries toward Lionel. Who does he think he is? He's just a nobody. But Lionel Logue, to his credit, never sought or requested special privileges. Never did, nor craved a social climb. But because of his closeness in relation to King George, he did have the king's ear, and accusations by some unkind people were made that Lionel was the power behind the throne. However, because of his crucial role as His Majesty's speech therapist, he was elevated much higher in status than many in the royal establishment thought he should have attained. Some people do feel entitled to special treatment, but truly, most haven't earned it. Christ exposed the futility of self-importance because such an attitude corrupts everything, including our faith in God. You know, when you're put on a pedestal, guess what? People can take pot shots at you. You have to be careful because there's a price to be paid for glory. And I'm sure most of you have seen what's happened to some people that have been glory seekers. They end up, well, they probably didn't get figurative rotten eggs thrown at them. Well, they might have got figurative rotten eggs thrown, but they might have gotten the real thing, too. So remember, there is a price to be paid for that. And popularity seeking and opportunistic attitudes can become the undoing of some people. Various people spend a lifetime trying to become important, but they sadly miss the mark. I think it could be low self-esteem. It could be mommy didn't tuck you into bed at night. It could mean a lot of things. But what targets do they usually miss in their by missing that mark? Well, the missing the mark, they sacrifice family. Many times, husbands and wives, whichever one of them is the social climb, a lot of times the marriage is in because one of them is seeking to reach a certain goal that leaves the other one standing in the cold. Then there's friends and there's in your career and, you know, and whatever it is. And most of all, you miss out on God. You miss out on God. Truthfully, when trying to impress the so-called high and mighty, will rarely result in nothing more than ridicule or pity. However, to pursue importance can become one of the most sought-after goals in life. It's one of the most, and it has plagued humans since the dawn of time. We all want to try to, hopefully, our legacy will continue for 2,000 years down the road or 3,000. Have you ever been to cemeteries? The older ones particularly where they had the beautiful monuments in memory of somebody that nobody remembers. So that happens. You next time you go to a cemetery, look around and you can see what I'm talking about. There's some fabulous memorials, but after a generation or two, most people are forgotten about unless they did something very important in that regard. You've heard me mention him, but medical missionary Albert Schweitzer spent much of his time in the jungles of Central Africa. As a medical doctor, accomplished organist and theologian, to just name a few fields that he was expertise in, Schweitzer was sought by leading European and American universities, hospitals, and governments to work for them. They attempted to entice him with offers of grandeur, wealth, and prestige, but Schweitzer declined them all. Schweitzer felt the greatest accomplishment of his life could be attained in serving God through helping the disadvantaged and afflicted at his African medical hospital. Christ taught that to have a humble spirit is what pleases God. Be the best you can achieve, but don't let it go to your head. Titles and social status, fat bank accounts or academic degrees do have their place, but shouldn't be manipulated into, say, figurative sledgehammers to elbow our way through life. Now, you see a lot of people out and about. Some are so miserable, and they have anything they want to materially, and yet they don't have a deep peace of mind, a deep in the heart, or whatever it is. They're just not happy. Well, does money make happiness? Well, some people say yes, but most of the time, if you don't have the proper perspective of how to enjoy life and the joy, I'll drop the E-N out, the joy and happiness that must be attained, but it has to, first of all, come from within in a connection with God. If you don't have contentment in your life with God, then everything else is second best. It really is. So remember this, that there is, again, a price to be paid. You may attain whatever you want to. Did it help Howard Hughes out? No, he died a miserable miser and a recluse. So many you can read about that really just were in a state of just turmoil because they never attained that peace and serenity that they sought through their material gain like that. You know, I always think about a butler. He was an actual butler, served at the governor's house in Richmond, Virginia. As butler and everything, he witnessed something happening. They were having an open house, and a great mob of people had arrived at the governor's home there. I mean, there must have been several hundred, and they were just pushing in and being rude and everything. And that butler says, "Be kind. Nice people don't shove." And that says a mouthful right there. Christ told his followers not to behave or think so highly of themselves. And also we shouldn't do that of ourselves either, because we can hurt others in the long run. You know, climbing the ladder, sometimes you might step on a few fingers and toes and bruise, but you remember this, you're going to have to go down that ladder too one of these days, and you want to have friendly faces to face. So a lot of times we forget that. Some people do forget that, and we hurt others. But regardless of our background, whether we were born with a silver spoon in our mouth at Buckingham Palace, or even if we never knew our biological parents, that's not what counts. God still loves us, but please don't be pretentious in order to be noticed by others and God. I've shared with you all, I've got me a new cell phone. And I found out a friend of mine always said I needed the best, but his priorities and mine are different. I know he won't be happy when I tell him what kind of cell phone I got, because he was wanting me to get an $800 phone. And he says I need a Rolex watch and the best, fastest driving car, a Maserati or something like that, or a Lamborghini, so Pat can work on it, I guess. But those things don't impress me too much, and I'm not trying to stand up here and look like Mr. Humble, but you know, there's a lot more important things than a Rolex watch around. And the Rolex watches give me happiness. Well, it probably would for a while because I threw my wrist around and showed everybody, but in the long run, it'll grow old after a while and you have to move on to something else. But remember this, a relationship to God never grows old. It just grows better as the years go by. So don't be pretentious about what you have. Remember, all blessings come from God. And by the way, nice people don't shove nor are show-offs. God loves us just the way we are, warts and all. Remember that. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, sometime in our lives, we mix our priorities up. Our attitudes need to be chastised in favor of you. Sometimes we get to a point to where we do think we are better than others. Perhaps we think because we have new clothes or whatever it may be, a new home, that it gives us respect. Well, it may give us respect in human eyes, but we need to know that we please you as well. Help us to strive to be people who please you rather than our human friends. All this we pray through Christ our Savior. Amen.